Thursday when Dieter went into the hospital, and I got this ball. So John is going to do the preaching, and we're going to make it through. Dieter's going to stay in bed and get healed, and George is resting up too. So that's kind of where we are this morning. So any prayer requests, anything to, other than Dieter and Georgia? How is Dieter? So we went in and saw Dieter Thursday, and he roundly chastised us for coming to visit him because you know how Dieter is. And I'm the same way. If it was me, I'd want to be there recharging my eye and reading, and don't bother me. I got forced time alone. I can catch up now on everything I've wanted to do forever. So just go away. And, you know, I just told him, I said, hey, get over yourself. We're not here for you. We came down here to spend time with Georgia, okay, because she's the one we're worried about. You're fine in the hospital. But she was gone by the time we got there, so we didn't get to spend time with her anyway. So, anyway, we had a good talk. His mind is doing really good. George still hears some slurring in his speech. And maybe if I think back, it was, yeah, he's maybe not as clear as you'd expect him to be, but his mind is good. I guess he's still having some balance issues. He was on a pretty strong, anti-clotting medicine. So he was in ICU to make sure that he didn't bleed anywhere or develop internal bleeds and things like that. Because when you're on that, you never know how it's going to affect other places. So that's what was going on. Last we heard, they'd moved him into a regular hospital room. So, yeah. Yeah, his ICU room was pretty depressing. It was on the inside row, not the outside row, so he had no view at all. And I said, man, you could have at least paid for a room with a view while you were here. I mean, come on. I think there's still a little bit of, Lauren asked if they took care of the blood clot, and I think they're still dealing with that. I don't know that they've done a scan on that yet, and I haven't heard. Yeah, but they're only, it's just medicine. They didn't have to operate, which was good news. Any other questions about that? Anyway, he was doing pretty well when we talked to him on Thursday. It was Thursday. What's that? Georgia's tired, and Georgia's worried, and Georgia's concerned. So she's probably the one we need not sleep in. She's the one we need to pray for mostly. Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to any of them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Rachel and Kevin are at home. I thought they'd come down, and that's good. So, and that's going to be a fine line in terms of letting Dieter get rest and them wanting to see him, because Georgia said whenever they go, they'll sit there for a minute, and he says, just go, leave me alone. So, and that's Dieter, right? Yes.
And this is very encouraging. I had a friend, this was like 30 years ago, and we were young, like, she had exactly the same thing. And it just came on all of a sudden. She had a horrible headache, and her husband rushed her to the hospital. And at that time, they didn't have the medication to treat it. She said the worst thing that happened to her through the whole ordeal was they had to shave her head because they did a laser thing.
Oh, wow.
They removed the clot, and she's exactly the same. She had some slurring speech, and she had some balance issues. But within like 3 weeks, she was like fine. And when I first heard about it, I'm thinking, wow, that is exactly like what happened to Jane. And it depends on where in the brain but it sounds to me like it's almost exactly the same as what she had, and she had full recovery and no problems after. That's
encouraging.
So, Dr. George, the field brain clot in the brain, where he had it, was the best place to have it, the best feeding. Oh my God. Exactly. And the doctors are very encouraged. The doctors tell her that I expect to completely recover from
Yeah.
So those are great things.
So yeah, if you didn't hear Trudy, they do expect a full recovery. It's just it's going to take some time and
It's wonderful that we have Mr. Steger and Mr. Reed coming, and we have
Yeah.
Do you have a
bench?
Mr. Armstrong, we have a lunch
table
that can fill in.
Yeah. So it wouldn't I'll let Dieter tell you all the details, but if he will, but it would not surprise you to hear that Dieter's blood vessels are not in the normal place in his brain. So I'll just leave it at that and let him explain the rest of it to you. Not that anybody of you didn't already know that his brain was different, right? Oh, man. Wouldn't we all get that? My goodness. Any other prayer requests other than those guys? We're going to meet about Charlie Tutu this afternoon after church, so we'll pray about that also. That's coming together. Exciting. All right, well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a beautiful morning, for the moisture that's maybe coming, and we thank you that Dieter is on the mend, and we pray that you continue to knit his body back together. Pray that you take care of Georgia and the kids and comfort them and keep them safe as they travel back and forth. Lord, we just pray that you just bless those doctors and nurses that have been helping him, and give the ones that are still working on him skill and understanding, and help them. Help the medicine to work, Lord, the way it should. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us through this day with the second team working, and just honor the time we'll spend learning and talking about you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I have about 3 minutes to talk about each of the Ten Commandments. Okay? And we're going to do it. This is not going to be a heavy lesson, because as Thursday went through, we decided, you know what, I'm going to just do something kind of light and fun, but it'll be good, I think. I hope you'll get something out of this. And I was going to do this at one point when Dieter was going to go back into talking about the Big Ten, because he hasn't finished that yet, right? I was looking at what's going on, and maybe he'll get to that in September. I don't know. but this was going to be kind of a review for that period, so it's still going to be that. It'll be an intermission, okay, if you will. So, Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are found, if you want to just follow along. It starts out saying, God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he starts out right away saying, you shall have no other gods before me. And it goes on in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, you hear, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then in Leviticus 16:18, I think, is with all your mind. So the idea is that you shall have no other gods before me. And this looks like a one, right? Huh? For the first commandment, but it's also one God. Okay, and so it's not really just the one. It's kind of a big deal one. So we're going to give it some three-dimensional stuff here and make it more than just the one. So it's a big one, okay? And there's a person praying next to it. Just not the one, but the one God, okay? So that's, you shall have no other gods. Yes, Pam. You can't see that?
Can you make it bigger, Sean?
You know what I'll say about that is that there's plenty of seats on the front row. How's that? I knew that was going to be a problem for you guys in the back, and you brought that on yourself. Yeah. And so the second commandment, he says, and that looks like a two, but it's really not a two. The second commandment says, you shall not make unto yourself a carved image, any likeness or anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So this looks like a two, but it's not a two. It's really a snake make that a little bigger, that has been carved out of stone. Okay, so there's a little chunks of stone that have been carved out, and there's his little forked tongue, and he's an angry snake because he's been carved. So that's a reminder that you shall make no graven images. Okay, second commandment. Because God is a jealous God. So that's the second commandment. And we'll have more fun with this in a little bit. Okay, so everybody just be patient. The third commandment, anyone know what it is off the top of your head? Yeah, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay, so this looks like a three, but it's not a three. It's lips, okay? Lips sticking out, and those lips are saying vain words. Does that help at all when I do that or not? Okay. We all see that way anyway, probably, right? So your three on your sheet has little side whiplash mustaches to help you think about the lips being there, okay? So, yeah, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay? So that's the third commandment. The fourth commandment is... yeah, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do no labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. And who else? Nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. Pretty much nobody that you're in control of will work those days. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, obviously, if you read in Grudem, as Dieter quotes a lot, he has a couple of chapters, probably 30 or 40 pages, where he explains why we worship on Sunday now. Because the Lord rose on Sunday, the early believers worshiped on Sunday, but still the principle of remembering that sixth day and keeping it, or that seventh day and keeping it holy is important. And so to help us remember that, this just looks like a four. It's really not a four. It's a church with the doors and a steeple on top. So that's a church to help you remember that. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Isn't it interesting? It doesn't matter. Mention the wife.
It does not mention. It does not mention the wife, but in Jewish tradition, the wife was supposed to have all the food made and the fires made the night before sunset, so that on the Sabbath she wasn't working either. But remember how Jesus chastised the Pharisees when they got on his case for healing on the Sabbath, and he said, "Which one of you won't go out and take your oxen out of a hole or find your sheep that's lost?" Okay, so God knows what's important, and there are things that are important, and he gave us that leeway. So if you remember, we talked about Deuteronomy 6:4. Said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." And the lawyer who came to Jesus, you know, and asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus asked him, "Or what's the greatest commandment?" And You know, Jesus asked him, and he said, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. Well, that is all encompassed in those four commandments, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All four of these commandments wrapped up in that one, isn't it? I love that. Now, when I do this, I normally separate the five out completely, because five is its own special commandment. And it has to do with parents, right? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Present perfect tense, because God is giving them the promised land at that time when he said that. He's since given it to them. But the promise is that your days will be long upon the land. It's the only commandment that has a promise associated with it. The fifth one, and it's honor your father and mother. So this looks like a five, right? Yeah, it's not really a five. It's really a child, albeit with a chiropractic issue. But this child has a present. He's honoring his parents. So that's the fifth commandment. It's a child with a present honoring his parents, to help you remember that fifth commandment. I need to caveat all of this right now before I go any farther, is that this is not my idea, okay? I have one of these for the 10 plagues that came to Egypt that I made up. That is mine. But the idea for this is all belongs to a guy named Gene Howard, who is also a John Wayne impersonator. He came to our church in Tucson, Arizona, in about 1992 or so, something like that, and gave us a huge drawing class on, he takes numbers and turns them into numbers and letters and turns them into characters. And he's really good at what he does. But this is his material and his lesson that I love it. So Gene Howard is his name, and you can look at him on genehoward.org if you want to look. Anyway, so that's the fifth commandment. First and only with a promise to honor your parents, that it would be well with you in the land you live. Cool. All right, the sixth commandment. Anybody know what that is off the top of your head? Thou shalt not murder. So this looks like a six, but it's not a six. It's a six shooter. With a bullet flying out of it, of course. A couple of action lines there. So that's a six shooter. To remind you that thou shalt not murder. Okay, some versions have kill. Obviously, God sent his armies off to kill everybody in the land, so that wasn't what, killing in general was not what he was talking about. He was talking about killing in anger. In fact, he provided the cities for the people to go to, right? If they had killed not in anger, that they could go and be safe. So that was not the issue. The issue is murder, killing in anger and unjustly. So that's a six shooter to help you remember that, okay? Now the next two commandments, Jesus had more to say about, but the seventh commandment, anyone know? Yeah, thou shalt not commit adultery. So this looks like a seven, but you already guessed that it's not, right? What happens if you commit adultery? You break up a home, right? So this is a broken home. Because somebody violated the seventh commandment. So that's to help you remember that the seventh commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery, because if you do, you wind up with broken homes. If you can see that. Can you see that? Okay, good. Jesus had more to say about that, right? He didn't say, don't commit adultery. He said, Jimmy Carter's famous, says, if you look on a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery. So he's talking more about your heart than your body and your actions, which is consistent throughout the commandments. That's what the issue is here. It's not so much the killing as the murder, because he talks about that also. And that if you've looked on your brother with anger, you've already committed that murder, right? So, and then we get to the eighth commandment, and this looks like an eight. It's tilted on its side so that it'll look more like a. If you put some strings around here, so that you could tie that over your nose and in front of your eyes, it's a bandit's mask to help you remember not to steal. Okay, the eighth commandment is thou shalt not steal. Handcuffs. That's another way to look at that. That's good. Yeah. Kelvin says handcuffs. I like that. So it's a bandit's mask. Because if you're doing burglary, you're going to put a mask on. And you go, okay, so the bandit's mask is to help you remember not to steal. And then the ninth command is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay? And so that looks like a nine. It's really not. It's a G. But it's not just any old G. It's a angry G, because he's using false words against his neighbor, okay? So, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Huh? Gossiping, yeah. We're going to get some more into that in a second here. So it's a gossip, the G for gossip. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. That's what the G is for, gossiping. That doesn't look as angry as it should, sorry. It's supposed to be an angry G. So good. That's the ninth commandment. And then the tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Okay, so don't covet. And then this 10 is really not a 10. It's a 1 and an O. Okay? And the O is running away very fast, because the one wants him. So the one wants the O, and it's running away. So those are his big lips. And I'll show you why he has those big lips in a second. But he also is running to catch that O. And his arms are outstretched, and he's saying, I want that O. And he's going pretty fast too. So he's chasing the O because he wants it, and the O is trying to get away. So I want that O, because the 10th commandment is you shall not covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his donkey or his ox or donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. If you think about that, what did God say up here? I, Lord, am one God, right? I'm only one God. And the corollary to that And Deuteronomy, if we remember, was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your mind, and all your soul, you shouldn't have a problem with this coveting issue, right? So I think it's kind of cool that if you look at how God wants you to not covet other things or other people's things, but look to Him and want Him, it wraps up those Ten Commandments, doesn't it? If you look to Him, it's kind of a neat aspect of that. But so, yeah, that's kind of cool. And, you know, this is a kid's thing maybe, but you know what? For us as adults, it's not bad to help us have a picture to remember too. And now, yes, we are. But you know what? As a fighter pilot, I never had to grow up, right? Have you guys heard the joke? I mean, some of you have heard it, I know. So the little boy goes to his mommy, and he says, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a fighter pilot." And the mom looks down at the son, so sad, just eyes drooping. "Oh, honey, you can't do both." Sorry. So, we're just going to go through and have a little bit of fun here right now. So, the ninth commandment is don't gossip. Should not take the, yeah. Okay, so don't gossip. So, I'm going to just have some fun here. Can you see the G still? No. Not even in your mind? Okay. And the seventh? Do not commit adultery. So it's still a seven, but the rest is gone. How about eight? Don't steal. Thou shalt not steal. Not don't steal. How about 10? Yeah, do not cover your neighbor's house or his wife or anything that's your neighbor's, right? Yeah. Yeah. Prior planning, right? It's only because I've made messes before and had to clean them up. So, how about six? Yeah. Thou shalt not murder. It's not a six, it's a six shooter. Five? Honor your father and mother, bringing a gift. And which commandment is that? It's the first with a promise. What's the promise? Your days be long on the earth in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Yeah. Excellent. And how about two? Yeah, don't make any idols, no graven images. And three? Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Very good. Yep. And make that all go away eventually. And four? Okay. Remember Sabbath, keep it holy. Should do no work therein, not you nor not your wife. Your wife can work, I guess, according to John. But not your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your donkey, or any of those people. And one, Lord your God is one God. Worship Him only. Yeah. Make all that go away. Now, what I did not emphasize after I got through all of that was these bottom five commandments all relate to other people, right? And that's the second part of that where the lawyer came. and said, you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, that's the part that Jesus was getting to when he went into that story. And then he went on to the parable about the Good Samaritan after that, because the guy asked him, well, who's my neighbor? Trying to justify himself, right? And don't we all try to do that, justify ourselves? And in justifying himself, Jesus told him the story about the Good Samaritan, which I don't know if it made him feel bad or not. It would have made me feel bad if I was him. So yeah, these are all in our relationships to other people. Except that when you take 10 and 1 and wrap them together, it puts that bow on the whole thing. So let me just, I'm going to read that little bit about, it's in Luke chapter 18, where the young, rich young ruler comes to him, because this story just touches me every time I read it. So Luke 18:18 says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, which is 7. Good. Do not steal. Yep. Do not bear false witness. 9. Gossip. Honor your father and mother. 5. Good. And he said, I have all these things I have kept from my youth. Notice he left out these. Either the guy didn't have a problem with those, or he didn't want to go that deep, 1 through 4. He said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Which commandment is he talking about there? Ten on the surface, right? But what do we say? 10 goes back to 1, and which goes all these, isn't it? Yeah, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, so he really did go back and cover those, but he really hit him below the belt with that one, right? Because he was a rich young ruler. Yeah, I just, as I look at that, I think, you know what? Jesus hit this guy where all of us are in reality. You know, selling everything you have and giving it to the poor and follow me. And that all he asks of us? Yeah. And when he heard this, the rich young ruler, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, how then can we be saved? And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, you know, Jesus came to fulfill all of this, and in the end, to put our faith in him and follow God and let God do that hard part and working in our hearts, because that's what the deal was with the rich young ruler, right? It wasn't about what he did. It's about where is his heart and how is he going to be able to release all of that stuff, that covetousness that he had, even for his own things, and be able to release them to be able to be free and follow God. Because that's kind of where we all are. So you guys didn't think I could get done with that net. any thoughts or questions? Can you see the picture still? What's the picture here? Church. Picture here is kid handing a gift to his parents. Picture in 2. A snake that's carved out of stone. 3 is lips saying vain words. How about the 9? An angry G gossiping, right? Yeah. That's from that. And seven? Broken home. Eight?
Handcuffs.
I love it. I love it. Six? Six shooter, yeah. Three, one. One God, yeah. The ten? Coveting because it's the one chasing the O. Coveting the O. Yeah. 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 It's easy stuff, but it's fun. And you know, if you sit down and draw this afternoon and draw it next week, you'll have it for the rest of your life. That's how pilots learn how to fly. Push this thing forward, the houses get big. When they start getting really big and you get scared, pull it back and they stop getting big and you're on. It's a pretty simple sport. Wow. Dieter had to do that with a moving target when he's landing on the ship, but it's still the same thing. Yeah. Sure.
And I told many people, I think it was much easier to raise our kids with a very good base and lead some of the monetary temptations out of it because it wasn't even an issue. I look at people who are very affluent and I think about how much more challenging it might be.
So when you didn't have money and it's easier to raise your kids because you're all focused together and you can only do things together. And when you have money, everybody kind of drifts off into their own corner of the house and does their own thing and forgets God. And that's kind of, I think, that the rich young ruler thing is why it's so hard for a rich person to find a way in. Yeah. We probably all have that same story, right? When things weren't going well at home, when you didn't have money, those are the times that you remember as probably the best, when you were closest to each other and closest to the Lord. Grateful for the little things, Sharon says. Yeah. Yeah. The footprints prayer, right? When there's only one set of footprints, it's because I was carrying you. Yeah. That's all good stuff. Anyway, great. Any other thoughts? That's good. Yeah, John.
I knew a man that used to deliver mail in Philadelphia. Where there were a lot of Orthodox Jews who lived, and he said that fourth commandment just wore him out on Saturday.
Oh, I bet.
If some old woman saw a piece of mail that looked important, she'd ask him to open it because she couldn't work on the Saturday.
So, if you didn't hear that, so a postman in Philadelphia, you can probably relate to that in the Jewish sector. If a lady saw a piece of mail that looked important, she couldn't open it because that would be breaking the fourth commandment. So she'd ask the mailman. So it took him all day to get his mail delivered. Oh, and then he probably had to carry her bill to the post office because she wouldn't do it. Yeah. Oh my, that's good. Good. Okay, you're welcome. Well, let's pray. And then we can have some time to get ready for church, those of us that are pulling this all together. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Again, we pray for Dieter and his family and others, for Bill and for Christopher. And pray that you would be just touching them, healing them. Lord, we thank you for the foolishness of pictures and the truth of your word. And I ask that you'd help with the land in our hearts, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Debbie.